Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Democratic nominee for state auditor was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with Rob Sand from Decorah. Rob, where are you from?
Decorah.
Grew up there?
Born and raised. My dad is from Decorah. His parents are from Oshin, which is about 10 miles away. Grew up there. First job was catching chickens. Like to hunt, like to fish. Go back pretty often. My two best friends are still there. They work at an auto body shop in town. And they used to work in the kitchen at Mabe's, actually.
A good place to eat?
Good place to eat. Great place to eat. Yeah.
And now you're running for auditor as a Democrat.
Right. State auditor. I worked in the AG's office for the last, I was in my eighth year when I left. And I worked a lot with the state auditor's office because they do Iowa's public corruption investigations. I have been doing most of Iowa's public corruption prosecution. And over the years, I have just noticed that the investigations reflect the fact that they do not have anyone with law enforcement experience in the office. The current auditor refuses to hire people who are not accountants or CPAs. So that's all the office has, and it's like a football team with 11 quarterbacks playing on offense at the same time. If you want to have better investigations that you know are going to hold up in court, you need to have someone in the office or a few people who have law enforcement experience.
Well, and you're the guy that broke the Eddie Tipton case wide open, that lottery scandal a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and that was one that, although it was the public's money at the lottery, that one wasn't even one that they had worked on. And so I have a lot of experience, both through that case, where we went through 45,000 jackpot-winning tickets from around the United States to find the seven that he had fixed, and in other ones like the Iowa Film Office tax credit scandal that I prosecuted. So I have a lot of experience in my 7 years there. And I really, let me be clear about this. I like the people that I've worked with in the office. They are passionate about what they do. They care a lot. But if you don't have someone in the office who's looking at those investigations on day one with an eye to whether or not they're going to hold up in court and an eye to the legal aspects of it, we are worse off as taxpayers.
So there's nobody in the auditor's office with any background in anything but accounting or without the prosecutorial experience? Is it either?
No law enforcement experience, meaning either no former cops who are trained in doing interviews and also no former prosecutors. Yeah.
So all accountants.
I can't say necessarily for 100% certainty that they're all accountants. I can tell you that the current auditor doesn't tend to hire people who are not CPAs or accountants, but there could be someone in there who has a business management degree. I don't know.
So their knowledge of the law might be limited, is what you're saying.
Well, look, I wouldn't expect to tell you convincingly that I know as much about accounting as a CPA, and I think it's fair to say that an accountant and a CPA wouldn't know as much about a law as a lawyer does. And this is my point, right? Iowa needs to have a team in that office. A team is people with different backgrounds or different talents who are working together towards a common goal. Just like I said, you don't want to have 11 quarterbacks playing on offense because whoever's playing center and guard are going to get crushed and your team's going to lose. In the same way, you don't want to have an auditor's office that is only CPAs and accountants. You certainly want them to be a part of the team. They have important things to contribute. But the idea that you don't want to have law enforcement, that somehow having a law enforcement background means you're not qualified, is absolutely backwards. In fact, right now, Iowans are going to get more return on their dollar for the salary of a state auditor who has a law enforcement background than one who is a CPA. I mean, what do you get with your 38th CPA in that office? It's not a punch card. You're not going to get a free audit out of it because you have 38. You already have 37 people that are thinking that way.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Rob Sand, the Democratic nominee for state auditor. We just briefly mentioned the lottery scandal. How did you break that open?
You know, the most honest and simple question or way to answer that is hard work. It wasn't one thing that we did. It was that we had a team that continued to work on it and continued to dig and continue to support each other and dig in. We didn't have any naysayers on there who said, no, I'm sure there's nothing here, there's nothing to it. We just kept pulling every thread and unraveling the whole thing.
Is that the only thing you focused on, or did you have other casework?
Oh, no, I had a full caseload outside of that case.
that case sort of dead, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was dead. Yeah. I mean, when my boss handed me that case, it was a thin file. And, you know, everyone in the office has a full-time caseload. And he just handed it to me and said, look, I know that you're going to do the work necessary to figure out if there's anything behind all this. We didn't have any suspected crimes. We didn't have any suspected, we didn't have any suspects. We didn't have any suspected crimes. It was just sort of a mystery of who had purchased that ticket. And we took every step we needed to get finally to the absolute bottom of it. And I think that's important. And I think that willingness to ask questions and to do the hard work also is a contrast between me and the current state auditor. If you look at the Iowa Communications Network scandal, $380,000 misspent while the current state auditor was on the oversight board for the organization. But in the 4 years while that money was misspent, our state auditor missed more oversight meetings than everyone else on that board. Even when the executive director was highlighted in the Des Moines Register as having another full-time job outside of the job that he was getting paid $120,000 in taxpayer money for every year, no questions asked about that by the current state auditor. And let me give you another example. We just broke the news about a week and a half ago on the Iowa Finance Authority and their financial problems. That is in the news now because I issued the public records request after having been tipped off about a lease that was going to be wasteful spending. That lease was approved by the Iowa Executive Council, which the state auditor sat on. The document that was presented showed that lease option in a different way, presented it in a different way than the other options that would have saved money. But the current state auditor didn't ask questions even though it was presented in a different way. And so I think that willingness to ask questions and to really push to get to the bottom of things, absolutely necessary if you want to call yourself the taxpayer's watchdog. And that's what this office is supposed to be.
And if I'm remembering correctly, wasn't there a study that showed that the new building wouldn't really save any money and the old building was adequate?
Yeah, there was a feasibility study done the original conclusion was the building that you're in is adequate for your space needs and also is going to be the best office option financially. That conclusion, IFA asked to change that conclusion, to remove it, and so they did. And then when IFA presented information to the executive council, they instead claimed that they needed to move because they were growing and they were going to outgrow their current space, and they change the presentation of the financial stuff to mislead the board onto whether or not what was the most expensive or the cheapest option.
So they had the study and then they brought it forward with the part that they didn't like omitted?
They did not bring the study forward. They just had the conclusion changed and then left out the finished one.
Is that a criminal act?
That would be for someone who still has prosecutory authority to decide. I wouldn't comment on it one way or the other.
Okay, because you left your office with the Attorney General.
That's right.
To run for this office.
That's right. And even if I was still in the office, I mean, unless I was looking at every shred of evidence there was and there was a complete investigation, I wouldn't be commenting on it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Rob Sand, the Democratic nominee for state auditor. Tell us about the film scandal that you worked on. The film was a big deal.
It was, and it was that's what I cut my teeth on. My first few trials in the Attorney General's office and my first cases were all related to the film office work. I worked very closely with Tom H. Miller, then Deputy Attorney General and Republican, in fact, and we worked very well together. And he, after that was over, moved me into the Area Prosecutions Unit where I sat for the remainder of my time at the AG's office. That film office tax credit scandal was a mess. And it was a mess primarily because the legislature wrote a very bad law with a lot of holes in it. Now, we held people accountable. We dug down and we found invoices where Iowa taxpayers were getting billed $225 to rent a push broom for 6 weeks. And Iowa taxpayers were getting billed $1,350 to rent 6 orange road cones for 6 weeks. And I led those prosecutions towards the tail of them, had a few trials, had a number of individuals plea and agree to restitution. But what troubles me is the abuse of tax credits that we saw back then, we are, I think, again seeing now. We are awarding and putting out a record number of tax credits in this state. And a lot of them are going, like they did in the film office mess, to entities that are out of state with very little accountability on it. And I think that's a major problem that the state auditor should be doing more to look into.
And so where does the line lie between the state auditor and the Attorney General's office in looking at these? Is there a line?
There's actually a very clear line, and it demonstrates actually the importance of having someone with my background in the state auditor's office. The state auditor's office, when their investigations are complete, send them to the Attorney General and to the appropriate county attorney. Now, it's important, this is kind of a fine detail, but it is important. In law enforcement, you have investigative authorities and you also have prosecutorial authorities. The problem is you need to have your investigators working with prosecutors and trained in law enforcement, because if you're going to hand a case to a prosecutor on their own can't investigate. And so by law, if the state auditor must, and they must, hand that over to a prosecutor, there's a presumption there that it's ready to move into a courtroom. But the problem is the way they put together in their investigations, they don't have anyone on staff making sure that it's actually going to hold up in a courtroom. I've actually tried cases where I've had to leave out everything that the state auditor's office did because they put their investigation together in a way that simply wasn't going to hold up. They built in too many assumptions, for example. Where in my world, I have to prove everything beyond a reasonable doubt. And if I ask a court to assume 6 things on the way to proving something, I'm not proving it.
I guess I thought the state auditor's office just sort of looked at the books, looked at the relationship of the money to allocated to how it was being spent and maybe raised a few flags, sort of like an accountant would for a small business.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it should be.
That's part of the job. Here's the thing. This office has 2 divisions. One is auditing. That's what you were just describing. 2 is called investigations and performance. We've been talking about the investigations piece and how that's neglected. But the other part of that, performance, is neglected as well. And let me tell you what that means. This office is supposed to be a partner for counties and for cities and for state agencies when they do their audits. And what I say by partner is they're supposed to be providing them with tips and tricks and information on how they could save more taxpayer money. Just best practices for providing basic government services. They don't do that. It blows my mind because look at the state of the budget right now, right? Counties and cities are crunched. The state's budget is swimming in red ink, and it has been for years. And yet this office is supposed to be saving taxpayer money and doing nothing to fulfill that obligation. In fact, the current state auditor, in her press release for announcing her reelection, announced that she had done several performance audits in 4 years. Several. That's not good enough. I think Iowans deserve better. It's part of the job at the state auditor's office, and if the current state auditor doesn't want to do it, then we need to hire somebody who has the energy to get it done.
So how specifically would you go about saving taxpayers' money? Is there sort of a plan about how that works? Is there a structure, a schedule, strategies and tactics?
I think the easiest thing to do is to build a best practices checklist. Are you doing this because this is the best way to do waste collection? Are you doing that because that's the best way to do a sewer connection? Let me give you an example. Scott County just switched now to doing single stream instead of dual stream waste collection for recycling. They are going to save $2.5 million over 7 years. It's increased the recycling rate, which also decreases how often they're going to have to build new landfills, which are expensive and take up space. It also has increased the number of jobs that they have at their recycling facility, and it helps them actually get more money because recyclable goods are a commodity. When the city collects them, they can then sell them to recyclers. And so by making this switch, they've done a great thing for taxpayers because now there's going to be a lot more room in that budget. But they didn't do this because the state auditor recommended it. The state auditor hasn't been recommending this to anyone, even though it's not even a new idea. This should be something that has been getting pushed to every county and every city around Iowa because it's an easy money saver, and it hasn't been pushed. I think there's no excuse for that.
So I guess I was just thinking that the office would be reactive, not proactive, and that's, you want it to be proactive.
It should be proactive, absolutely. I think taxpayers deserve someone who's going to be proactive in making sure that their money is used wisely. Because what's the point of being reactive on everything? I mean, at that point, it's too late.
Thanks to Rob Sand for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.